The Christian culture breakdown. Now, the only thing that's holding this world together right now, I can tell you, is the Judeo-Christian stand for the one God, the one Son, the one Holy Spirit. If the church wasn't existing, the world would not exist. That's the power of the body of believers presenting petition to God and praise to God. But we're living in a time period to where the Christian culture has sort of been knocked down. People are even afraid to profess that they are Christian, afraid somebody will try to harm them. What's going on with the Christian culture? Why? Well, I want us to look at the cause of the breakdown, but I also want us to look at the fix. I don't like looking at causes if there's not a fix. You got to keep digging until you see what the fix is. Chaplain Joe Wright, now I'm quite partial to chaplains. We chaplains are, especially correctional chaplains and all, we're a little, you think a pastor's odd, we chaplains are really out there because of the type of people that God calls us to. I was a chaplain for all those years to the prison systems in our state. Kentucky State Reformatory LaGrange, Hardin County Detention Center, and several other places where I was called in. Chaplains have a personality that knows when there's a problem, you speak to the problem. I'm going to read to you, talking about the Christian culture breakdown, I'm going to read to you Chaplain Joe Wright, a prayer he prayed at the Kansas State Legislature. Now, God bless him, they didn't invite him back. But this is a prayer he prayed. And when I was looking at this again, it tells you why they didn't invite him back. But it also gives you the problems that we're having in the Christian culture today, because few will stand for the truth. And God's looking for that few to stand. And as long as that few's around, God will always intervene. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask that your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that's exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that. We have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it moral pluralism. We have worshiped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversions and called it alternative lifestyles. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possession and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. I ask in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as I said, Joe, well, to say the least, they didn't invite him to come back, do any more praying. But Joe hit the problem right on the head. Joe knew that what we are doing in the Christian churches today, we are more excited about inviting the world to come in and display their abilities than we are to do what God has called us to do and go out of a building and serve Him and proclaim the truth. You see, the message of Jesus is life eternal. His gift to me and you is His Word. Oh, He gave His life. He gave His blood. He paid for us. He renewed us. But then, what did we do? What have we done? How exciting it is to know that I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord. I know that. You can't take that away from me. No group, no statement. Because Jesus said, I got you. When I said, Lord, I believe. It is the power of that Savior's hand. He said, Larry, I love you when you're right and I love you when you're wrong. See, the wrong part of our life whips up on us itself. But God said, I want you to pay attention to my word. The cause of the breakdown is wrong living. Wrong living. God said, I will give you direction. It's in this book called the Bible. I will show you each step. I will encourage you. And when you do mess up, and you will continually, I will grab you and I will pull you up. I will never leave you. I will never, ever forsake you. We, the wrong and the cause, we live a consumption control lifestyle. Get, get, get. And the more I have, the more we want. Get, get, get. A consumption lifestyle. When you live a consumption lifestyle, your God becomes what you're consuming. Your God becomes things instead of a person. And God said, it ought not be that way. That's the problem. That's what's pushing us away from peace. There's not a person in here that would not say, I need peace. I want the peace. I want a good feeling in me for a change. There's people that are hurting so bad and for so long, they'd give anything to have that feeling. My friends, I'm here to tell you, you can. His name is Jesus. It's just not a name. He is a person. And He says, I want to be your person, and I want you to be my person, and let's get this journey on earth taken care of, because I got a home for you waiting in glory land that outshine the sun. I love you. And I want you to come and be with me. But first, get my word out. And Larry Vance, don't you dare back off. Over the years, I have. I confess that. Knowing the people, and I had the Lord lays a message on my heart, and yet I know that they're going to think that I'm throwing that at them, and I would bypass it. That was as wrong for me to do as anybody else's sin. God had a reason to lay it on my heart. It's His truth, it's His word. But we will battle and fight these battles continually while we're in the human condition. The human condition is messed up, but Jesus isn't. And Jesus said, I'll grow you up. I'll give you the knowledge. Well, I'll even give you wisdom. The world can't do that. I'll give you the wisdom to walk and to talk and to present my word. God says, listen to me. Listen to James, half-brother to Jesus. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something and don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Then when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Oh, it is a consumption-driven life that we're living. And it's not just in America. It's worldwide. We consume, and then we seek to get more and more and more. That's okay. Get it. But don't neglect the giving of it. You got me? Give from your heart. Give, not till it hurts. Give till it feels good. If you ain't feeling that good, give a little more. And I'm talking about to your community, to your family, to people that you know that needs that help. Give it. And God says, that's a problem we have, and until we address the problem, we will continue to take, take, take. That is not of God. That's of the human heart. Cause number two, too lazy and too shiftless to work. Oh, preacher, you're meddling now. No, actually, I'm going to read you the scripture. Now, lazy and shiftless, shiftless does mean lazy, but I use the shiftless anyway because shiftless also means the lack of ambition, having no ambition to do any more than what we're doing, having no ambition to be better so we can help others get better. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 10 12. Even while we were with you. Now, listen to Paul, the apostle. Listen to the other disciples when he's saying we. He's talking about the disciples. Even while we were with you, we gave you this rule. Whoever does not work should not eat. Oh, now, preacher, you can't say that today. I didn't. It's in God's book. I'm obliged to read it. And it's a fact. You have people that are just lazy and shiftless. They have no desires and they won't work. Yet, we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and wasting time meddling in other people's business. Yep, that'll do it every time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we appeal to such people. Then he said, no, we command them, settle down, get to work, and earn your own living. Oh, preacher, that's a fact. People have been so used to getting for nothing. That's exactly what they give to their fellow man. Nothing. You and I have a responsibility as Christians. Oh, yes, I know the scripture, and the scripture tells me that I'm to take care of the widows and orphans. Tell you that. You've read that, haven't you? But did you know this? You keep reading. It says, after that widow or after the orphan's family, pitch in and take care of them. If they won't, then you do that. That's giving to God. But the best gift you can give is to encourage mamas and daddies, be mamas and daddies. Take care of your family. Don't teach them to depend on a government or any outside. It's all on the inside. I guarantee you God will take care of you. God will take care of your family. He'll send somebody to make sure you're taken care of. You don't have to ask. If you're a child of God, he will see to it you're well taken care of. The poorest people in the United States of America, I remember the survey recorded, are wealthier. The poorest people in our nation are wealthier than the richest people in 2/3 of the rest of the world. Man, I think we're living pretty good then, wouldn't you? And we do. You know, I have never, and please don't take any of this wrong, but this is just a fact. Over the years, when I helped with the prison inmates or the victims of the crimes and all of this, I was always amazed, though, at the people that would come to me asking for something, and they actually did not look like they had ever missed a meal in their life. They looked quite healthy. They could survive just the way they were for a while. So it's not that. Look on the inside. It is the character of pride for Christ. Jesus says, I see you on the inside. I'll send Larry Vance to you. I'll send Randy Kidder to you. I'll send the need that you need. I'll send the personality. That's the body of Christ. That's us. But don't, whatever you do, don't fall into the trap of dependent on a government. Here's the fix. Are you ready? Reverse what's wrong. Reverse what's wrong. Oh, that means I got to change something. When you say it that way, that means you need to be changing something. Yes, change your thought pattern. Think about life through eternity. This is not all of it. This isn't even the beginning of it. I get so excited sometimes thinking about when I cross over. When I cross over, I'm crossing over to Jesus. I'm crossing over to a land that eyes have never seen, to a love that I thought I understood, but it's so amazing. The human mind could not grasp the love of God or the power of God or the truth of God. We just grasp bits and pieces here in the human condition, but a great day is coming. But until then, let's take care of today. Let's take care of the church, and let the church be the church in the world. Take care of the selfishness. Pay attention to God in all that you do. Let Him direct your path. Don't you try to change it. The Lord said it's by the cross, by the way of the cross, you will have that freedom of life. Don't say there's another way, because there isn't. Don't say there's many other religions that can get you to heaven. No, there isn't. It's not religion that gets you to heaven. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as a Christian. So you proclaim it, but they don't believe it. Have you proclaimed it to them to see? Maybe they don't believe it now, and maybe they don't believe it because of professing Christians who don't act like Christians outside of the church, and many times in the church. You can't praise God on the inside and then use His name in vain on the outside and think you're going to be blessed. You see, Christ is our light, but He's allowed us to be a part of sharing His light, His love. Make sure we take it. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary problems, they don't seem so light sometimes, do they? Our light and momentary problems are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. This body's temporary. I'm going to leave it soon, and it's going to go back to the earth. But me, I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be with the rest of you all. As I tell you all the time, start loving me now, because you stuck with me for eternity when you know Jesus. We are going to get to see the glory of God in action when we say yes to Jesus and follow Jesus. Jesus says yes to us as the angels carry us to the arms of Christ. Man, that will be a hug, won't it? That will be the perfect love story. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. So what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen, that's eternal. I wished I could explain more about the eternal living, but I can't, because the book tells me I'm giving you what you need for this life. But let me lay this on your heart, Larry. I'll tell you what you need on this life, but your mind can't handle. Talk about getting your mind blown. Your mind can't handle the goodness, the greatness that I have waiting for you when you get out of that earthly tent. And that earthly tent is weak. A glorified body, spiritual body, is not weak, because we're powered by God. Not by gasoline or battery. Pure God all the way. But Larry, remember John the Revelator, author of the penman of the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ? Jesus is telling him what to pin, and he's pinning it. And then John says, I can't reveal. There's no words for me to tell you what I saw. How do you explain perfection? How do you explain that perfect feeling that you're so loved, all hell can't touch you, because you're in heaven with a Savior that loves you, and he loves you just like you are, flaws and all. That's the message we need to be presenting. The key to it is preach the gospel. Let them know they are loved. You can't explain how much, because we're still in a human condition. Our minds can't even handle what we do know, can they? You know, we can't even deal with all the bad stuff we've already done. That Jesus says, I forgive you, start daily. What a love. What a Savior. That's the Word of God. It doesn't get better than the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name, Lord, asking your direction, for your love, for your protection upon each member. We ask, dear Lord God, that your protection is on us as we travel to and fro. Your protection is on us when we're delivering your word, your truth. Help us to always be ready and willing to deliver. But encourage us, Father, to always listen to you in that process. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.